Well, I'm glad you made it back, brother. That's good. That's the farthest away I ever got a phone call in my life. I'll have, I guess, a confession to make. Thursday morning, we've been to, preached Monday at Senior Citizens Day Camp, been all over the county and over in Mercer County, and we're having breakfast Thursday morning. I told Sandy, I said, and she is, you're going to find out she is a prophetess. I'm testimony to that, but we're sitting there eating breakfast, and a lot of stuff been going on this week, and I said, I just think I'm going to take this Sunday off. Somebody calls, I'm just going to rest. She looks at me and says, you'll be in a pulpit this Sunday. And here I am. So, I don't know, 9 or 10 o'clock, and only about 3 or 4 people have my cell phone number. And my phone rang, and I looked, and it said Josh Winkler on there. And I said, well, Lord, so much for Sunday rest. So, and then it said hello, and just happy as a lark. You know how preachers do. Yeah, I'll be glad to help you out, brother. But it is a privilege to be here. I got a couple announcements myself. One is that Jordan and Zoe down at day camp, at the end of the camp, they won the Word of God Award, and that's, praise the Lord for that. That's wonderful. And then, ladies who helped during our anniversary celebration, that you all pulled that off. We knew nothing, absolutely nothing. But those ladies, my sister-in-laws, they just stood amazed at all you did and how you helped, and they couldn't have done it without you. And they want to thank you. And then thirdly, I'm going to tell you this. This is my announcement. Having heard what I heard took place in this church, my name is Butch Honecker. I'm the third string preacher. I'm the substitute to the substitute, and I require no more introductions. To beat it all, I was over talking to Dixie. Bill's talking to Sandy. He starts to walk back, and he comes back and says, did you hear about my introduction? I said, yeah, I heard about it. I don't want one, brother. So I like my position just under the radar. I like kind of sailing along there, but that's wonderful. I'll have to listen to that. I'll have to pull that up and listen to it. All righty, if you have your Bibles, now you're going to have to kind of stay with me on this. This is not a 4th of July message, but then again, it is a message because we're preaching Christ and the liberty that comes through knowing Jesus Christ. There's no greater liberty than being a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, one who's having heard the truth of the gospel, trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, been set free from the burden and the bondage of sin, and then have the wonderful gift of eternal life. You don't get any more freer than that. Matter of fact, Jesus said, and if the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And as a believer, we are a bunch of free people in Christ Jesus. But I want to read to you from John chapter 3. I'm going to be reading verse 27, really zeroing in on the word receive. But what's taking place here, it isn't between the contention is not between John the Baptist and Jesus. John and Jesus are perfectly clear on this matter. John knows, I am the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember when Mary came and the presence of Jesus is there, and they're both with child, that John leaped in Elizabeth's womb, just been in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John goes on in John chapter 3, he says, I must decrease that he might increase. So that's not the issue there. The people kind of talked about the baptism of John, the baptism of Jesus. But really, I want you to hear the direction the Lord led me on this message. Hear what John has to say to all of this. And it says, and John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for just the wonderful privilege we have of standing in this place and sharing your word. Father, we thank you for every song that's been sung, prayers that have gone up. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being going from church to church here lately, sharing the Lord Jesus Christ in all those places. And Father, we do pray for our nation. We know that, Lord, we're not the people that you intended us to be and you've called us to be and desire us to be. But Lord, we also realize that as your children, as believers in Jesus, we are the light of the world. We are your standard bearers, Father. We are the reflectors of you whose Son is the light of the world. And help us to do that day by day. And Lord, just bless your word right now. Use it for your glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is a little bit of maybe a message about every preacher kind of has some things, little pet peeves, if you want to call them. But these are doctrinal pet peeves with me. But let me ask you this question. Have you ever heard the term name it and claim it? And I believe it found its origin in the charismatic movement that came. And from the charismatic movement, it moved on to prosperity theology and that kind of things. And it is just so much of it. And I've witnessed it. I have friends that are involved in that movement. I believe they're saved people. But I hear them say something and misapply and misuse scripture that's so biblically wrong. And I'll share a few with you to you'll kind of see the direction I'm going. I've heard the term in John 14:4, it say, if you shall ask anything in my name, Jesus said, I shall do it. So that means anything that I say, anything that I want, anything that I ask, he's obligated to do it. There's a problem with that, and the problem with that is they discount the teaching of 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, and which says this, and this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Folks, I don't know how you pray outside of the will of Almighty God. God knows the outcome. God knows what's good for us. God knows what will bring glory to him. God knows it all. And he's looking at it from that perspective. I would dare to pray outside of the will of God. Dare not to do that because I just want to trust God. Let my heart's desires be known to him. Let my petitions be known. And then put it in the one who's able to accomplish for my good and for his glory. And then there's this one. Brother Mike used it this morning. If two or three are together on earth and touching anything that they shall ask, and it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. So I've been told, will you agree with me? And pray about that. I will say, I will pray for you. I'll pray about that matter, and I'll pray in the Word of God. But my question is this. If two agree concerning something that God has declared to be an abomination and sin and ask him to bless it, is he going to bless it? Just me and you agreeing on something doesn't amount to a whole lot. What you and I agree with has to agree with the teaching of the Word of God. And then there's this one. And then I'll move on. I'll be done venting and kind of go on. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And they make that application to physical healing. And friend, it's almost an insult to the work of the cross. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was nailed to a cross, bore our sin, suffered for our sin, shed his blood for the remission of our sin, that we might have eternal life and the forgiveness of our sin. And I would equate it to the flu or something like that? Absolutely not. Do I believe in healing? You bet I do. Do I believe in praying and God intervening in people's life? Yes, I do. But this is not an application I can name and claim concerning some physical ailment. And then how many times have you heard a preacher or someone else say, claim the promises of God? You know what? I've said it. And I really don't see a whole lot with that done in the right way. And I'll tell you what that's about. I think of a song that Stacy sings. And it's a picture of standing in the presence of the Lord Jesus, and really kind of the question is asked, why are you granted admission? Why are you here? What reason are you here? And the song she sings, and I just want to be a shouting Baptist when it happens, but I contain myself. She says, I claim the blood. What are we claiming when we claim the blood? We're claiming that which we first received, my friend. We can claim nothing of God that we haven't first received from God. And that's kind of what this message is about. And I'll tell you why. As I studied, prepared for this message, I ran into the word. I think I learned a better word. And I think you know where. I'm not being mean-spirited towards someone, but I'm saying, if you've received it, you go ahead and claim it as yours. But there's a reason I use the word receive, and one of the reasons is I just think it's a better word. And another reason is I looked in my concordance. I was going to look up some words, some scripture about claim, and you know what? In my Strong's Concordance, not one time did I find the word claim in the King James translation of the Bible. But I did find the word receive over and over and over again. And secondly, if we look at the definition of the two words, claim and receive, I think you'll understand where I'm going with this message. The word claim was defined this way: to demand as due, the demand of a right. And the word receive was defined this way: to take a thing offered. And to that I added, to lay hold of, to take into one's possession. And to all that I say this, no person from the highest up to the lowest down has the right or the authority to demand anything from Almighty God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But any person from the highest up to the lowest down has the right and the authority to receive, to take as a thing offered by God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, any gift that they would give us. And really, this message is just simply about some of those things offered by the Lord Jesus Christ, things that we have received personally in our lives, and yes, things once received, then we can say, that's mine. I claim that. But I know where it came from. I know who is the giver of every perfect gift. I know it's all, I have it. I can lay claim to it because God first gave it to me. And the first and most important thing that we need to look at, every person that wants to go to heaven, every person that wants to be saved, has to first receive the gift of salvation. So here's the question: by what authority does anyone have the right to demand salvation from God? Do they have it on the authority of their works? Not according to the Bible, not according to Titus chapter 3, verse 5, which says, not of works which works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Well, what about position? And what about prominence? That won't work. What about religious affiliation? That won't work. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 pretty well takes care of it all, which says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then the second question is this: by what authority does anyone have the right to receive God's salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son? And my answer to that is, by the authority of the Word of God. By the authority, let me read you some scriptures. By the authority of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. By the authority of John chapter 5 and verse 24, where Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. By the authority of John chapter 6 and verse 32, which says, thus Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, as Moses, well, I think I got my wrong verse right there, in 6:37. And He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. On the authority of Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. on the authority of Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And finally, on the authority of Romans 10:9-10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And finally, by the authority of Calvary, the place of the sacrificial, substitutionary death for Jesus Christ for us on the cross. That's the authority we have, not to demand it, but praise God, to receive that gracious gift He's purchased for you and I. And you know, when we speak of Calvary and the cross, I think we all have a picture in our mind. We have a picture of Jesus there nailed on the cross, his arms outstretched there on the cross. But you know what? After the resurrection, I no longer see Jesus with those arms stretched out. You know what I see? I now see him with his arms stretched forth this way. And you know, I see him outstretched, and here's what I don't hear him say. I don't hear him say, claim what you want, claim what you will. But I do hear him say, receive what I have to offer. And you know, what are some of the things that are offered and things that you and I can receive because of the work of Calvary? And then I wrote, and again, there is salvation. Friend, that's who Butch is. That's what I do. I travel around. I preach Jesus. I preach the cross. I preach Christ risen. I preach Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ. I try to see people saved. I know I'm going to be here for a day and going tomorrow and may not get invited back, but we just keep on preaching Jesus. So salvation is my theme. That's kind of where I operate, and then we'll move on. But I wrote, again, there's salvation. I've already told you, you can be saved on the authority of the Word of God. But the question for you and I individually is not, can you be saved? The question for you today, this very day, this moment, is, are you saved? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Your answer to that question, how important is it? It will determine your eternal destiny. It will determine the value of our lives now and the productivity we have for Christ. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But it says, in and through Jesus, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So don't just think about heaven. Think about what we can do today for Jesus Christ, even thing like filling in for your pastor on a Sunday morning. It's got to be tired. And then I want you to listen to Romans 6:23, and then I want you to listen to John 1:12, and I'll quote them to you. But I want you to see Jesus just kind of standing before the sinner. And the first is here's what he's got to say. The wages of sin is death. That's the broad way. That's where you're heading without Christ. That's where it ends up, spiritually dead, eternally lost, helplessly and hopelessly in an eternity without God and without Jesus and without glory. And then he says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Well, what would Jesus say to you today, to a sinner, to a lost sinner, as we all were at one time? What would he say? How would he deal with that situation? Well, I love Isaiah chapter 1, and I like verse 18. And here's how Jesus dealt with us, dealt with me, probably dealt with many of us. After we went through the world religion and this and that and our own opinion and our own self-image of God and all those things, then we come to verse 18 of Isaiah chapter 1, and God says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And I guess coming from West Virginia, I just see God saying to us, and in that moment, slow down, sit down, lay it down, and come set a spell, and let's take a look at your life. Here's what you are, and we have to deal with that. We have to acknowledge that. And we know we're in the presence of a holy God that loved us enough to give his son to die in our place. And we just end up, salvation is all about just coming to the place saying, God, you've been right all along. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, and you're it. And I trust you as my personal Savior. And then remember this, when a sinner, lost sinner, enters into the outstretched arms of the Lord Jesus Christ, what are they entering into? Well, my friend, you are entering into the arms of love and mercy and forgiveness and cleansing and the amazing grace of Almighty God. And you know, when I think about that, I think, why would anyone stay in the blackness, the darkness, the coldness of sin when Jesus is calling us to the light, to the glorious light through the message of the gospel? He's calling us to salvation in his Son. And you know what? Jesus makes the promise. We're talking about claiming and receiving. Well, here's Jesus' promise to you if you receive him today. He says, you receive him, he'll claim you. And it doesn't get any better. What does he say? If you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. I will make you my very own. I will place you in the beloved. I will place you in the family of God. I will call you my brother. I will love you like you've never been loved before. But then after we're saved, you know what? The arms of Jesus still remain outstretched. You know what changes? The invitation is what changes. Those same outstretched arms that once called you and I to salvation, you know what they do? Now they call us to service. And you know, the Lord Jesus, he has something to say when he stands before me and you. And I think here's what he would say. It's found over in Matthew chapter 19, listen to verses 36 through 38. And when it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Friend, there is multitudes of millions of people all around us who are in that dark, cold, lost place without Jesus. And we are the light. And we are the ones that have that responsibility. But it says that he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. And you know, if I hadn't took Josh's call and answered that and responded to that, I couldn't preach this next little part of the message. What did Jesus say to do? Pray ye therefore. Well, I could have said, tell you what I'll do, Josh. I'll pray that Bill's not too tired, and we'll see if he can preach for you, and I'll just take it easy this weekend. That ain't, Sandy's over shaking her head, that ain't going to happen. I know the God I serve, and that's just not going to happen. And this morning at the table, I pray, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful privilege and opportunity of standing and preaching your word one more time. But you know what? I wrote to that. Don't just pray. That's wonderful. But do something. Become usable in the work of the Lord. Become available. Here I am, Lord. When that phone rang, I knew he wasn't telling me, well, how are you doing today? I knew he's calling to say, I need you. And that blesses my heart. Everybody wants to be needed. Even a third string preacher, it makes me feel good when you do that. But then, my friend, even more important, becoming usable, becoming available, become willing. Lord, what will thou have me do? That was Paul. You know, a lot of times we say, I can't, I can't, I can't. What I quoted a minute ago, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So when I say I can't, that's saying, God, you can't through me. Yes, he can. And we just need to let him do that. And then kind of winding down, let me ask you this. Would God have all men to become preachers? Would he have all men and women to become missionaries? And the answer to that is no, but there's a verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. The Word of God says this. I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. Not only are we called, we are also placed. And wherever we're placed, we're called to be a witness and an ambassador and a testimony for Jesus Christ. Why? Because wherever we are, people are lost all around us. And what does Christ want to do with my life and your life? What does he want to show them? Well, I think that's found in the Word of God says that people might see Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that ought to be, Lord, just today, just let people see Jesus in me. I had a little experience, and not bragging on myself, I'm in a project and I bought some lumber. And I went around, I bought these 40 lattice strips, little old strips that I used to sell for $3. I about fainted. They're $7 a piece now. I bought 40 of them. You do the math. That's $280. I'm standing in line. People's behind me. The girl tells me what the bill is. I said, the Holy Spirit said, that ain't right. And I said to her, you better check that bill. Well, first thing he's thinking I charged him too much. I said, that's not right. And she pulled a big long sheet up and said, I just charged you for four. That's $28. There's a decision to be made, which wasn't a decision. I said, you better add 36 more to that. But there's an old boy standing beside me, and my answer to her was, Jesus wouldn't be pleased if I stole that money. And went on about my way. And that's, you don't have to preach a sermon. You don't have to do that. But that's, what an honor it was to do that. Even if the lattice was high. so you still pay the price. But I have so much more that I want to say, but I'll close with two more thoughts. This is another one. Jesus' arms are still outstretched to the believer who has fallen into sin, who's backslidden, whose life is out of the will of God. He doesn't cast you out. What does he say? If you confess your sin, I'll be faithful and just to forgive your sin, cleanse you of all unrighteousness, restore you, and use you to my glory. That's what he'll do. And my friend, we all pass through those times. We all need that time as a believer of getting right with God, getting our hearts and our lives right for him, that he can hone us to the sharp sword that he would have us be and use us against the flesh and the world and the devil. And then lastly, I think, and this is my thinking, I think I'm close on this. I think one day Jesus' arms will be outstretched, and when that day he says, maybe what he said to John, come up hither and meet me face to face. I don't know exactly what he's going to say, but I do know in that moment, twinkling of an eye, we're going to go from here to there. And I don't know of anything better than come up hither. That's just, it worked with John. I think it'll work for us. But anyway, we got that to look forward to. That in this world, it's going in the mess it's in and getting bad all the time. That's all right. That's the way, it's the stage is setting for the Antichrist. He's coming on the scene, but we're not going to be here. We're going to be with Jesus. My question is today, is your hope in the world and the political system or some empty religion, or is your hope in Jesus? If it is, you've trusted him as your personal Savior. If not, friend, we don't have a promise of tomorrow. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. This is the day. This is your moment to do business with God, both as a believer and an unbeliever. Just let him have his way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the time. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you just touch our hearts. And Lord, I would pray today that we just see you in glory, the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, loving us, ministering for us, praying for us. But Lord, still just beckoning us to march on and march on and march on until the day we meet you face to face. Touch hearts this day, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.